it's always an honor to get up here and be able to bring the lesson of the hour. And tonight I want to ask you a few questions. I want to start off by saying, I have often wondered, how many of us living today, had we been living in the first century, would have been receptive to the preaching of those like John the Baptist, Peter, or even Paul? Most of us would probably say, of course, for we received them now. But maybe that is because what they taught has become socially acceptable. And more often than not, their teaching is presented to us in a non-offensive manner. But how was the truth originally presented? By what manner of men? If we had been there, would we have believed them? And that is the topic of our lesson tonight. So I hope in this lesson to challenge our thinking along these lines. Imagine then, will we have believed men like John the Baptist, who did his preaching in the wilderness, forcing people to come out to hear him, in Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Who also dressed himself in camel's hair and a leather belt, eating a diet of locusts and honey, in Matthew 3, 4. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and honey. He also called religious people coming to be baptized a brood of vipers, in Matthew 3, 5 through 7. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" I seriously doubt we would if we balk at having to travel some distance to study God's Word, as is sometimes the case today, like going twice on Sundays. But consider what Jesus taught in Matthew 12, verse 42. "The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." If we can't travel in the same city to the church building to worship, what makes us think that we would travel into the wilderness to hear John the Baptist? Also, I doubt we would if we tend to judge people by the clothes they wear. It is easy to be affected by the dress for success philosophy, but we need to remember God's perspective. In 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" Also in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there or sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" So whether someone comes in here wearing a suit and tie or someone comes in a t-shirt and jeans, we should not show partiality to the one who is in the suit over the one who is in the t-shirt and jeans. We should treat them the same way as we would treat anyone else. Also, I don't think we would follow John the Baptist if we get upset or offended when a preacher points out our faults. You know, some would have preachers never preach negative sermons. But even Jesus demonstrated that sometimes the occasion calls for strong measures. In Matthew 23, 13 through 15, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across the sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Or how about following the Apostle Peter? He's a man whose country ways demonstrated his lack of formal religious training in Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished when they recognized that they had been with Jesus, who also denied Jesus three times. In Matthew 26:69-75. Now Peter was sitting outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were here with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man," and immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Also, whose hypocrisy on one occasion split a church? In Galatians 2:11-13. "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy." Would we look at him being uneducated and just brush his teachings of Jesus off? He did deny Jesus three times, and he did have some faults with hypocrisy, as we just discussed. It is unlikely that we would follow Peter if we expect a man to be formally educated before we would want him as our preacher. In some churches, they might require to have a degree to be considered acceptable. But the wrong kind of learning can be a dangerous thing. In 1 Corinthians 1:18-29. "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Also, it is unlikely if we aren't willing to give others another chance who fail us, especially more than once. If Peter had been treated like we sometimes treat fallen preachers today, would he have remained an apostle? Fortunately, the early church took to heart what Jesus taught Peter about forgiveness in Matthew 18:21-22. "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Also in Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Does our preacher need to be educated? Yes, he does. He needs to be educated by himself, by studying the Bible, and having other preachers as mentors that he can go to for questions. He can get a degree at a college, but that should not be necessary for him to preach at a local church. And we need to realize, just like Peter, preachers struggle too. We need to help them out as much as we can and forgive them if they are truly repentant. And what about the Apostle Paul, who had been a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church? In 1 Timothy 1:13, formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. He was also not a fluent speaker. In 1 Corinthians 2:3 through 3 and 4, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He also had a physical appearance described as weak in 2 Corinthians 10:10. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech of no account. Will we follow someone who blasphemed and persecuted the church before, or would we turn away? I doubt we would have kindly received Paul if we hold a person's pre-Christian life against him. Such people must not believe in the power of the gospel to transform lives, but consider what it did for people of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We always need to look at the person now, once they have accepted Christ into their lives, just like God does. We don't need to hold their past over them. And if they have repented of their past sins, then we need to forgive them. Also, I don't think we would have kindly received Paul if we don't care to hear preachers whose sermon presentations lack polish. Now, many people will not go hear preachers who may be young, inexperienced, or who are not eloquent. Yet, smooth words and flattering speech can oftentimes be used to deceive. In Romans 16:17-18. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Not every preacher preaches the same. Some use PowerPoints while others don't. It is the message that we need to focus on. Not whether the PowerPoint has plenty of items coming in and out. You know, as you can see, my PowerPoints are pretty basic. And it's just something to aid. But aid in getting the word out, and that's the important part. Also, we might not have kindly received Paul if we tend to judge people by their physical appearance, such as size, weight, etc. Again, we need to remember God's perspective on things. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We shouldn't judge anyone based on appearance, on whether we will listen to them or if not. Preachers come in all shapes and sizes, just like each of us. We just need to focus on God's word. So in conclusion, what I am suggesting is that how we receive people today is a strong indication as to whether we would have received the likes of John, Peter, Paul, or even Jesus. in Matthew 13, 54 through 58. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. While we would like to think we would have been quick to listen and believe their message, perhaps we might have acted differently. I hope that we appreciate the importance of looking beyond the messenger and how his message might be presented to the message itself. But there is another way to determine if we would have believed them back then. Have we obeyed them today? It may be speculation on our part to say we would have believed these men back in the first century. But one thing is for sure, if you are unwilling to obey them today, we certainly would not have done it then. One way to obey one command today is to become a child of God. And there are steps to take, and you must hear the word, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and then remain faithful. So why don't you come together as we stand and sing?